Okay, so have you ever like thought about what happens if you're a federal employee and you've got this personnel issue going on, something you could appeal, but then on top of that, there's a discrimination claim. Where do you even go to court?
Right.
It's a pretty specific situation.
It is, yeah.
But it raises a really fundamental question about jurisdiction in federal employment law. And it's something that anyone who's interested in this area really needs to understand.
Yeah, and it's actually more complicated than you might think at first. It's not always a straightforward answer.
That's exactly why we're taking a deep dive into this case, Klokner v. Solis. This case offers a surprisingly clear answer to a question that can be kind of confusing. And to really get into it, we need to look at Carolyn Klokner's situation. She was working at the Department of Labor, and back in June 2005, she filed a complaint alleging discrimination.
Okay.
Then, about a year later, in July 2006, she was terminated.
Oh, wow. So you can already see how things could get complicated. She's got this discrimination claim going on, which usually has its own process. But then she's also hit with this major personnel action, her termination, which could be appealed through a different system.
Right, and that's exactly what makes this a mixed case. It's got elements of both. So Klokner naturally appealed her termination to the Merit Systems Protection Board. We usually call that the MSPB. And she argued that her termination was actually discriminatory.
So that really solidifies it as a mixed case.
Exactly. But here's where things start to get a little tangled.
Right. And this brings up a really important point for anyone who's trying to understand federal employment law. How do these two agencies, the MSPB, which deals with personnel actions, and the EEOC, which handles discrimination complaints, actually work together when you've got these cases that are so closely intertwined?
So Klokner was trying to make things a bit simpler, I think. She asked the MSPB if she could dismiss her appeal for the time being, without prejudice, so that she could add her termination claim to the discrimination case she already had going with the EEOC. And the MSPB agreed to that, which seemed pretty reasonable at the time. But then the administrative judge at the EEOC ended up terminating her case there because of some issues with the discovery process. And then, to top it all off, the Department of Labor rejected all of her claims.
So she's kind of stuck now. She's been through these initial steps in both processes, but she hasn't gotten a resolution either way.
Right, she's kind of in limbo. So in November 2007, she goes back to the MSPB and tries to appeal her termination again.
Okay.
But the MSPB basically said, you missed the deadline, and they dismissed her appeal as untimely.
Ah, so now we're getting to the heart of the jurisdictional issue. She's gone through the administrative process with both the EEOC and the MSPB. So now the question is, when she wants to take this to court, where does she even start?
It's a crucial question. So Klokner decided to sue in federal district court. But the district court said, hold on, you can't sue here. We don't have jurisdiction over this. Their reasoning was that because the MSPB had dismissed her case for a procedural reason, it's while too late, she should have actually gone to the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. And the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals actually agreed with that decision.
This highlights a really important point of disagreement, right? Does the reason why the MSPB dismisses a mixed case, whether they actually looked at the substance of the discrimination claim or whether it was just a procedural issue like a missed deadline, does that determine which court you can appeal to?
Yeah, that's the central question that we're going to try to untangle today. The Supreme Court stepped in to resolve this split among the lower courts. So for this deep dive, our mission is to break down the Supreme Court's reasoning in Klokner v. Solis. And we'll also look at what the implications of this decision are when it comes to figuring out which court you should actually be going to when you have one of these MSPB mixed cases.
It's really important for anyone who might be advising federal employees or even just trying to understand the nuances of how the administrative process and the judicial system interact when it comes to these types of claims.
Absolutely. So, what did the Supreme Court actually say in Klokner? Basically, they laid down a really clear rule. If you've got a mixed case, you always go to federal district court for judicial review.
So simple, straightforward.
It doesn't matter if the MSPB looked at the substance of your claim and rejected it, or if they just said you filed too late, or there was some other procedural problem, federal district court is the place to go.
And that clarity is so important. Before this decision came out, there was so much uncertainty, you could easily end up in the wrong court. And for someone who's going through this process, that can have huge consequences. You know, wasted time, wasted money, maybe you even lose your chance to have your case heard at all.
It's a really frustrating situation to be in, to go through all of that effort and then be told you're in the wrong place. This decision from the Supreme Court really cuts through that potential confusion.
Absolutely. Especially for those of you who are law students listening, this is something to really pay attention to. This case gives you a clear answer in this particular situation. If it's a mixed case, an appealable action that also involves a claim of discrimination, you go to district court for judicial review. It helps you avoid a really big mistake that could have serious consequences for your clients down the road.
And it closes the door on this whole idea of a two-track system that some of the lower courts were leaning towards, where procedural dismissals would go to one court and decisions on the merits would go to another. The Supreme Court basically said, no, that's not what the statute says.
Right. They looked at the law and said, this is what it means.
So how did they actually reach that conclusion? It wasn't just a matter of preference. They were really looking at the Civil Service Reform Act. We usually call it the CSRA.
Right. The statute itself.
And they were focusing on two specific sections of the CSRA, Section 77702 and Section 7703. For those of you who are really into statutory interpretation, and I know some of you are out there, this case is a perfect example of how crucial the precise wording of a statute can be.
Oh, absolutely. Every word matters.
So these two sections kind of work together, you know?
Yeah.
Section 7703B1 lays out the general rule.
Yeah.
If you're appealing a final decision from the MSPB, you typically go to the Federal Circuit.
Okay.
But, and this is a big but, especially for mixed cases, that section has an exception. It says, except as provided in paragraph 2.
Uh-huh, an exception. I love when there are exceptions because that's where things get interesting, right?
And paragraph 2, which is section 7703B2, says that cases of discrimination subject to the provisions of section 7702 have to be filed under the rules of these specific anti-discrimination statutes. And guess what those statutes say? They all allow you to file a lawsuit in federal district court.
Oh, interesting.
So then the real question becomes, what exactly is a case of discrimination subject to the provisions of section 7702?
Right. How do we define that?
And that's where section 7702A1 comes in. That section defines a mixed case as a situation where a federal employee has been affected by an action that they could appeal to the MSPB. And they're also alleging that the reason for that action was discrimination that's prohibited by certain federal laws.
So it has to have both of those elements, the appealable action and the discrimination claim.
Exactly. So the court's logic was basically this. If a case meets that definition of a mixed case, then that exception that we were talking about in section 773B2 kicks in.
I see.
And it directs you to file in district court. It doesn't matter how the MSPB actually handled the case.
And the court specifically rejected the argument from the government that only MSTB decisions that actually address the merits of the discrimination claim should be reviewed in district court, while procedural dismissals, they argued, should go to the federal circuit. But the court said, no, we don't see any basis for that kind of distinction in the language of the CSRA.
Right. They were really sticking to the text of the law. And one of the key parts of their analysis focused on section 7702B. This section allows an employee to file a lawsuit in district court if, after 120 days of filing a mixed case with the MSPB, there hasn't been a judicially reviewable action.
Okay, and this is where the government's argument really started to unravel, right? Because they were basically saying that when the MSPB dismisses a case for a procedural reason, like missing a deadline, that's not actually a judicially reviewable action under this particular section of the law.
Right, and the Supreme Court saw a really big problem with that interpretation.
Because if a procedural dismissal isn't considered a judicially reviewable action, then an employee could potentially wait a really long time after a procedural dismissal to file a lawsuit in district court. Because the 30-day deadline to file an appeal usually starts running after a judicially reviewable action. So if there wasn't one, that clock would never start ticking.
And that could lead to some pretty crazy outcomes. The court actually uses the word absurd. They basically said it wouldn't make any sense for Congress to have created a system where a procedural dismissal could essentially give an employee an unlimited amount of time to sue in district court.
Yeah, it would be a very strange system. So the court said that for the whole statutory scheme to work in a logical and consistent way, a procedural dismissal by the MSPB in a mixed case has to be a judicially reviewable action under Section 77702.
Right, it has to be. And because it's a mixed case, the right place to review that action is district court under Section 7703B2.
It makes sense when you think about it that way.
It really shows how important it is to look at the whole statute and try to figure out what interpretation makes the most sense, what interpretation creates a system that actually works, rather than one that leads to these illogical or nonsensical results.
It's about understanding the intent behind the law and making sure the interpretation aligns with that intent.
Exactly. So the key takeaway from Kleckner is this very clear, bright line rule. When you have a mixed case that originated at the MSPB, that means it involves both an appealable personnel action and an allegation of discrimination, and you want to challenge that in court, you go to federal district court for judicial review.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if the MSPB decided the case on the merits or dismissed it because of a procedural issue. District court is where you file your lawsuit.
This has major implications for anyone who's going to be practicing law. You now have a definite answer to this question. When you come across one of these mixed cases, you know exactly where to go to seek review. It eliminates a lot of potential confusion and the risk of making a mistake that could really harm your client.
Right. And for those of you who are fascinated by statutory interpretation, this case is really interesting. It shows how the court looks at the specific wording of different parts of a statute, how they fit together to come up with a clear and consistent interpretation. And they weren't swayed by arguments about what the best policy might be. They stuck to the text of the CSRA and figured out what it actually means.
You know, one of the most interesting things to me about this case is that the court basically said that it's the discrimination claim itself connected to an otherwise appealable action that's the key factor in giving the district court jurisdiction under Section 7703B2. And it doesn't matter how the MSPB actually disposes of the case.
That's a really good point. It's that connection that makes the difference.
And that implicitly supports a broader policy goal, I think. It helps prevent litigants from trying to be strategic about where they file their lawsuit based on procedural outcomes, which is often called forum shopping.
Right.
And it helps make sure that federal employees who have these kinds of claims where discrimination and a personnel action are all mixed up together have one clear path to follow when they're seeking judicial review.
It streamlines the whole process. So given all the procedural challenges that Carolyn Kleckner had to deal with as she was going through both the EEOC process and the MSPB process, how do you think this really clear jurisdictional rule established in Kleckner might impact the strategic decisions that federal employees and their lawyers make in these kinds of situations?
That's a great question. I think this clarity could actually have a big impact on how these cases are handled right from the start. You know, knowing for sure where you're going to end up if you need to seek judicial review, regardless of the MSPB's reasoning, might really influence how you approach the administrative process itself.
Yeah, that makes sense. It could change your whole strategy.
So it's interesting to think about how do you balance trying to get your case resolved at the administrative level with preparing for the possibility of judicial review. Does this clear jurisdictional rule make things easier for federal employees in the long run? Or could there still be some strategic advantages or disadvantages depending on the specific facts of their case? It's definitely something worth thinking about more.
It's a really complex issue with a lot of moving parts, but hopefully our deep dive into Kleckner v. Solis has helped shed some light on it.
Yeah, it's a fascinating case, and I think it has some really important lessons for anyone who's interested in federal employment law, administrative law, and just the complexities of the legal system in general.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll be back soon with another one.
See you next time.